Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message. Walking in what the Father has purposed for you, all systems go. Things turn on in you that weren't turned on before. Hallelujah. By following Him, we are in a series right now called One Path, One Passion. And I believe the Lord wants to strengthen us this morning through His Word, by His Spirit. So I want to encourage you to grab a hold of the exhortation and encouragement that the Father is bringing to us this morning. We're gonna get into the Word for a little while. We're gonna let the Word minister to us. We're gonna worship the Lord with our increase, with our money, and we're gonna take communion together. We're gonna celebrate the wholeness we have and remind ourselves that His body was for us, and that His blood was shed for us. So if you haven't gotten your communion emblems yet, go ahead and get those. We'll be doing that a little later in our time together today. But let's look to the Lord right now. Let's forget about yesterday. Let's forget about the mistakes we've made. Let's forget about the bad attitudes we had. Those are all behind us. That's not who we are. If we misbehaved or didn't respond appropriately to something, let's let that go. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. We are new creations in Christ Jesus, and we recognize that we're on planet Earth for a divine mission. We're not here for any other reason. You brought us into this earth, Father, for a divine mission, and we remind ourselves of that this morning. And we shake off complacency. We shake off, we put the voices of this world aside. And we zero in on our intimacy with You. We were made by You. We were created by You. We were brought into this world by You. And You called us by name before we were in our mother's womb. You had a blueprint for this divine plan before we were in our mother's womb. And here we are in 2024, taking steps forward in Your plan and Your purpose. And Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to begin in Philippians chapter 3. This has been our go-to passage for this series. And we've been saying that there is a path that you were born to walk on. It is the path that leads into a deeper relationship with the one who made you. There is a passion that will set your feet on that path. It is the passion to know Christ above all else. And I did something new, and you did it with me. We watched Dune with our kids on Friday, I think it was. I hadn't seen the movie Dune yet, and this is number one, the first one. Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it. But I'm thinking of the young man who's the son of the head of the family, and I don't know the character's name, but he's the young man, and they're thinking maybe he's the called one. Paul, thank you. Paul in the movie Dune. And there's a scene where he's talking with his father, and he is next in line to take over this household, this place of authority after his father. And he says to his father, I don't want to do this, or I don't think I want to do this. And it's a very important lesson here. And his father said to him, I felt that way too. He said, but being called, leadership is not something you choose, it's something you're called to. And that's what I want to share with you right now. And sometimes when we're maybe younger, or maybe we're caught up in culture and the world's voices, if you listen to those voices, they can lead you in a direction that you really weren't called to. And you can do well as far as the world is concerned, but when you choose to passionately pursue Christ and follow His voice, you will recognize a calling on your life that's from Him. And it's not something that you would necessarily choose to do. It's something He's calling you to. And I believe that this series is important in that. And maybe you've been on this earth 15 years or 25 years or 30 years, or maybe you're in your 60s. I want to encourage us all to put aside everything else and listen to the voice of the Father. Not what so-and-so said you should do. Not maybe what your parents told you to do, or what a institution told you to do, or a guidance counselor, or a boyfriend or girlfriend. But to say, Lord, what have you made me for? What have you created me for? What is your high calling upon my life? And when I say called, I don't mean necessarily a fivefold ministry calling. It could be that. But in other words, what is the purpose that he created you for? And this is what was in my heart months ago to minister to the Highway family, and it's coming out now. Because, boy, we are living in a time with an overabundance of voices, and many of them are have a lot of influence in our society, and they're very, what the world would say, is successful. But those aren't the voices you want to listen to, because they did not create you. God created you. He's the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. And he's the one who knows you better than anyone. And no one loves you like he loves you. No one can care for you like he can care for you. So that the character in the movie Dune was discovering, there's something deeper than the way I currently feel. And I don't know how this is going to play out, but it rung with me. I thought of the Apostle Paul, not the character Paul in the movie. He said, if I do what I do, in other words, if I'm acting upon and carrying out this ministry because I've chosen to do it, well, there's a reward laid up for me. But if I'm doing what I do because of a calling on my life, then a dispensation is entrusted to me. In other words, Paul did what he did, not because it was the path he chose, because he recognized a calling. I want us to get to the deepest place of us. And I'm telling you, this is where you want to live. Live deep. Live all the way from your core. And you do have to shake off what other people are saying. You have to shake off complacency. And you have to choose to be hot for Christ each day. It's that passionate pursuit of Christ that keeps us on track, that keeps us moving forward, because at any moment we could choose to not be passionate for Christ. Right? We can choose like, yeah, I'm good. I'll be in heaven someday. Now let me just see what I can do with my life. But I believe that he is more purposeful than that, that he created you and designed you for something very specific in this world. And we can tell that by looking at creation. Everything has a purpose, right? Everything has a purpose. Everything's been designed for something very specific, and you have as well. Let's start reading in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking to us through him. He says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." That word suffered is also permitted. In other words, I let go. I let go of everything else. I purposed to let go that I might know him. "And do count them but dung," D-U-N-G, "compared to knowing Christ, everything else is crap." Can we say it that way?
No.
That's what Paul's saying.
Dung
is a little, I guess, more polite. Everything
yes.
else is a meadow muffin. How about that? "That I may with Christ," that I may with Christ, count them a dung, "that I may with Christ and be found in him," excuse me, "that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness." I'm just kind of struck by that dung right now this morning. I mean, that seems like a crazy, extreme statement. Compared to knowing Christ, everything else is dung?
Well, let's just think about that.
Wow!
It has no value. You don't want to be near it.
Yeah.
You don't value it.
It's waste.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
I mean, this is, so Jesus is pretty amazing. Come on, have we appreciated him? Have we chosen to value and appreciate him above everything else so that we choose to follow him because we know that compared to him, everything else is dung? Wow.
That's really, wow. When you said waste, that's right. Like our bodies reserve what is necessary.
Yeah.
And we eliminate.
Get rid of the West. Not. Right, right.
So, yeah. So he's saying all that accomplishment, all of those credentials were not necessary to his being. They could, he let them go. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be crazy to find out after years and years and years, you were building a dung tower and the world was cheering you on and you had, you know, a million followers online, but what you were building was dung? Oh, man. Wouldn't that be crazy? Yeah.
Not necessary to your being.
Yeah. But what gets us out of that? What gets us into building what God purposed for us? Passionate pursuit of Christ. Passionate evaluation of Jesus, where we realize that he really is everything we're looking for. He really is the answer we desire. And he's not a religion. He's not a statue. He's the living person of God. And he wants to have an intimate daily conversation with us. Hallelujah. It's so good. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. This is verse 9. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Hallelujah. And once you've tasted of Christ, you get the dung thing. If the dung thing seems extreme to you, you haven't tasted of him yet. Once you taste the person of Christ, you'll understand what Paul's saying here. If this seems extreme to you, I want to invite you to press in and taste the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you personally taste him, personally experience him, you will understand exactly what Paul is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And don't go another day without tasting him. Don't sell yourself short. Life is not about what we can accumulate and the accolades we can get and the followers we can accumulate. Life is about experiencing Christ. And once you experience him, you won't look back. Once I had my wife's pumpkin pie, that was it. There was no other pumpkin pie for me. Yeah, that's what happens when you taste the best. Everything else is, so see you later. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about everything that you've been looking for. We're talking about the fulfillment of your dreams, the fulfillment of every heart's desire, the one who's provided wholeness and abundance for you. Hallelujah. Once you taste him, you'll see what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. He's just so good. And that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If I by may any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already mature, that word perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. So good. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I love that. Let me read that out of the Weiss translation, verses 13 through 15. It says, but one thing I, in fact, am forgetting completely the things that are behind. I'm forgetting completely the things that are behind and am stretching forward to the things that are in front, bearing down upon the goal, I am pursuing, this is so good, I am pursuing on for the prize of the call from above of God, which is in Christ Jesus. As many, therefore, as are spiritually mature, in a relative sense, let us be continually of this mind. As I'm reading this, I don't know that I've ever quite seen it this way before, but I'm kind of struck by the goodness of God. I'm struck by how amazing He is, that literally, it once you taste Him, everything else loses its flavor. And I think we can relate to this. We ended up moving to another country when we were first married. And everything, we lived in an apartment on the hillside, and everything was fresh.
It was like it was like I never ate food before.
It was really something.
I never tasted food.
I mean, literally everything was out of the ground to your plate.
Fresh, fresh, fresh.
I mean, the rosemary, the lemons, the garlic, the melons were just so fresh. It was volcanic soil. And it's like you bite into something, it's like bursting with flavor. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. It's like, oh boy, I've never eaten before.
Never had
food. Yeah, I didn't realize what real food tasted like. And it was pretty special. Mm-hmm. And there are different seasons, and in each season there are different things that were growing and fresh, and you can only get during that season. So you look forward to melon season, because the melons were just so juicy and bursting with flavor. It's like, wow, you couldn't wait for that season. Mm-hmm. That's what's kind of going off in me as I'm reading this right now. Do you realize how juicy and delicious Jesus is? How bursting with flavor
fresh,
He is.
Fresh.
And boy, I want to, because I'm telling you, that's where it's at. And you know, you could read through a passage like this and kind of wonder about it and think, wow, that's kind of extreme. But that's, once you taste them, you'll see this is right on. Mm-hmm. This is right on. Mm-hmm. This is no exaggeration. There's no stretch here. Jesus is that delicious. Jesus is that satisfying. And I still remember the first spring over there, and biting into the first melon, I was like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Really? And I had good food. I had homemade good food in my home growing up, but there was just something different about this food. And that's what passionate choosing to know Christ will do for you. You'll discover melons and flavors and freshness that you didn't know existed. And you'll say, what have I been living for? Why have I been so focused on these things when the flavors I really wanted are found in Christ? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We had some really good ice cream yesterday.
Yeah.
That you could tell these is fresh quality ingredients. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is really good. Mm-hmm. And it's real stuff in it.
Right.
You know, and it's quality stuff in it. This is what this is bringing out of me. It's like when you read this, it's like going into an ice cream shop seeing all these flavors.
That ice Philippians cream 3. Shop said it was made fresh daily.
Oh, I love that. Daily.
It wasn't sitting around.
Come on. Is Jesus fresh today?
Yes, He is.
He's the bread of life, and He's always fresh. Hallelujah. Every time you bite Him, it's bursting with flavor. Mm-hmm. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, realize that He's what you're looking for. I honestly didn't plan on focusing on these things. I really feel this is a time for whatever is coming our way, whatever direction we're going, the Lord is calling us to taste Him. Hear me, Highway family. This is not a sermon. I don't do sermons. I want to share with you what I believe the Holy Spirit is putting on my heart to help you know Him more. I believe He's inviting us to sample the daily fresh bread of life, His Son.
Well, we know where we're going, Joseph.
And we do.
For those of us who have received Christ, He dwells in us. We know that His nature has been imparted in us. Our call has been imparted in us. And we know that our destination is with him.
Yes.
And wouldn't it be tragic if it came time to see him face to face and we really never understood or it says when you seek me with all your heart you will find me, but it requires that seeking with all of our heart.
It's so good. And so, it's so true.
You know, we know where we're going. You know, you said I don't know what's up ahead, but we, you know, as far as challenges, but
as far as this world's concerned,
but our fulfillment and our purpose and our satisfaction is in Christ, and it's our pursuit in this life to know him so that we can jump right into fellowship with him and
so
into
good.
Our purpose
so
whenever we
so
see
good.
Him.
Yeah. So good.
You know, life doesn't stop when we stop breathing.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness, no.
Our purpose continues.
Absolutely.
And our call continues.
Yes.
And our walking in that will only be more fulfilled and more full whenever we see him face to face.
Boy, that's so good. And, you know, I had an inkling of this. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me even as a child. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know the word. I didn't have a family that understood. When I came to know Christ, I thought, oh my, this is the one I've been looking for. And my whole life changed. I was, you know, in my teen years. And what you said is so important. Outside of Christ, it's like this time on earth is so important.
Yeah, gotta do it.
Gotta achieve this by a certain age. You gotta do this. You gotta have this.
It's all here.
And you start to know Christ, you're like, wait a minute.
Expand,
I have an eternal destiny that does not stop when this world stops.
That's right.
And I am being prepared and pruned and trained for an eternal destiny with Christ. In it with the new earth, the new heaven, and I'm going to be, all that's inside of me is going to be fully engaged beyond anything I've known here.
Yeah, so that's what we're saying. So why not run while we're here?
Yes, like, now's the time.
Like we're getting
now's
prepared
the time.
For that.
Now's the time, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let me read verses 15 through 17 out of the Passion Translation. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped, are you gripped by your passion for Christ? Are you gripped by the passion to know him? And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. Father, reveal it to us. If we're not gripped by the passion of knowing Christ, reveal it to us and help us to see you as you are, to realize you're the one we've been looking for, that you're the flavor that our taste buds desire. And let us advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. My beloved friends, imitate my walk with God. Wow. And follow all those who walk according to the way of life we modeled before you. Okay, we're coming into real Christianity here, guys. What was the life that the disciples and apostles, the fivefold ministry gifts, what was the life they modeled to the church? A life of one path, one passion. Oh, hear me. Come on, friends. Come on. This is where real Christianity happens. When Jesus becomes every flavor on my menu. When he becomes the ice cream I'm eating. When he becomes my entree, my appetizers, my entree, my second and third beate. When he becomes my salad, when he becomes my dolce, my dessert, my gelato, when he becomes everything to me. This is when we step in to the fullness of his plan. I really, you know, as this dropped in me, all the depths of this and the fastness of this did not. And each week, I endeavor just to say, okay, Holy Spirit, emphasize what you want to emphasize. And listen, this is for all of us. This is for all of us. Is Jesus the one? Is he the one that you're pursuing? You can't pursue two. You can only pursue one. Is he that one? And you'll know right away the answer to that. You'll know right away, and you don't have to say anything to anybody, but I'm telling you, you'll be able to answer that really quickly. When he's the one that you've given your whole life for, you'll know it. When he's not, these kind of messages will rub you the wrong way. These kind of messages will, I wish he'd move on to something else, you know, because you haven't yet surrendered. But when you've given everything to him, when he's the passion of your life, you'll thrive with these kind of messages because they fuel you, they strengthen you, they quicken you, they edify you, because you realize this is where it all happens. And this is what the Lord has called us to from the very beginning. If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, or he cannot be my disciple. Paul says it this way, my beloved friends, imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to this way of life we modeled before you. Live a life of God worship. Embrace this God life you are called to. And what's wonderful about this, this has nothing to do with religion. This is not my religious view. This is for every human being. Jesus is the one that every human being is called into a passionate relationship with. Let go of religion. Let go of religious goals and see Jesus as he is. Let's choose him today. Let's choose to make the Christ the one passion of our lives. The one passion of our lives. The one passion of our lives. The passion of our lives. Hallelujah.
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 You're making me, if I just jump in here real quick. This is Colossians 1.
Yeah.
1:16. It says, and this is what helps me give myself to Christ, because I understand the nature of Christ. This is it in Colossians 1:16. It says, for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. He was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, wow, that in so all things so he good may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So I see that he's worth all of this. You know, he's worth waking up and deferring to. He's worth giving every day, because all things, everything, he created all things, and all things created are coming and being reconciled into Christ. And so when you know this nature of him, it only makes sense. It only makes sense to follow him, because he reigns. And so I'm going to get on board earlier rather than later. I want to get on board earlier rather than later. When you understand he is king, and all things are being reconciled.
That's so powerful.
In him.
That's so powerful.
Hallelujah.
What are we doing? We're recognizing how amazing he is.
Yeah.
We're exalting him in our own thinking. Because he is who he is, whether we realize it or not.
That's right.
But we want to realize.
That's right.
God, open our eyes to realize how delicious you are. That you're everything we're drooling for. Let me read just verse 25 out of Matthew chapter 6 in the Message. I'm calling us all into this, guys. If you've listened to one message from Highway or every message from Highway, I'm asking all of us to do this. If you decide for God, this is Matthew 6:25 in the Message. If you decide for God, one path, one passion, living a life of God worship. Listen, the world doesn't do this. How can they? They don't know him. They haven't heard. They worship other gods, but they don't worship the true God. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. Hello. I'm going to read that again. If you decide for God, listen, this will change you.
That's right.
It will change your priorities. Is he worth it? Is he your passion? Have you given your whole self to him? And I'm telling you, you'll know. You don't have to ask that question alone. If a call like this rubs you and irritates you, that's an indication that you haven't done that yet. Because once you're in the water, man, you know what it's like being wet. Right? Once you've given him your all, you're there. And you love it. And you want to encourage others to give their all to him. Because you realize he's really what we're breathing for. He's the reason our heart is beating in our chest. He's the reason we're taking in air and exhaling every day. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. How much emphasis are you putting on these things? What you're wearing, what you're eating? It's kind of converse. The more emphasis you put on these natural things, the less emphasis you're going to put on knowing Christ. And you can totally get caught up in the natural because the world is screaming at you, natural, natural, natural. Do this, do that, have this, have that. And if you're listening to those voices, especially if you're on social media, it's all about presenting the natural. Look at the latest fit. Look at the latest this, latest that. You need this. And look what the word is saying. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, you're not going to value those things anymore.
Dung.
Wow, dung. Uh-oh, yeah, dung. Fashion is dung. Wow, compared to knowing him. I'm not against having nice clothes. God wants to clothe you in more than Solomon, in all of his glory.
Amen.
He wants to bless your wardrobe beyond anything you could ever do. Absolutely, but we don't value that. We don't make that a priority in our daily decisions and in our passion and pursuit. We've decided we're living a life of God worship. It follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than these things. Hallelujah. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. See, this gets our vision, this clears up our vision. This puts our priorities in place.
Right. That's right.
And boy, we need this. We need to remind ourselves of who Jesus is every day and say, what am I striving for? What am I spending my time and energy and talents and resources for? Is it to know him or is it, you know, for foods and fashion and status and achievements? If he's not number one with me, if he's not the object of my desire, my life is going to be out of balance and my priorities are going to be skewed.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not a Christian. Doesn't mean I'm not going to heaven. And listen to me, I'm not trying to get to heaven. If you don't know me by now, then let me just tell you. My goal is not to get to heaven. Jesus didn't come so you could get to heaven. He came so that you could taste and experience him every day. Hallelujah. So our goal is not, okay, I come to Jesus, good, I'm going to heaven, and then just go on our own way. No, our goal is to experience him, to live the divine life, to walk with Christ every day, to rise above the priorities of the world around us and passionately pursue him and be filled with his spirit and see his plan unfold in our lives. This is so good. We choose to live a life of God worship. Hallelujah. Let's do that right now with our finances. And we're going to have communion together. We're going to do that right now. We're going to worship God with our finances. And I'll tell you, you've really got to guard your heart. You've really got to guard your heart. There are so many voices out there trying to keep you from living a life of God worship. And for whatever reason, I'm on social media, but I've been seeing a lot of voices regarding tithing.
That's right.
And it's so much confusion out there, and I understand that. And remember what ignorance is. It's just simply a lack of knowledge or lack of relationship with him. If you have passion, without knowledge, you'll go in the wrong direction. And Paul talked about that. They have zeal without knowledge. Mm-hmm. We want to have passion combined with the true knowledge of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now you're cooking. Now you can move forward in the right direction. We don't just want passion. We want the knowledge of who he is, the knowledge of what he's done. So when we bring the Lord, our worship him with our money, it's passion, but it's based on the knowledge of who he is. It's not about the law at all. We are not Ten Commandment Christians. Did you hear me? We're not Mosaic Covenant Christians. Moses is not the father of our faith. Thank God for him. He was a mighty prophet, and God used him to rescue his people out of bondage and open their eyes to their need for him. But Abraham is the father of our faith. Why is that important? Listen, guys, let God invade your finances. So what God will do, his method of operation, he will bring Christ into your life. And he will bring a fivefold ministry gift into your life as a pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And there will be a church that he'll call you to. And his desire is that we would go to a church that teaches who Jesus is, what he's done for us, who we are in him, so that our passion and knowledge could grow together. Okay? And then what do? We worship him there. We grow in the knowledge of who Jesus is, what he's done for us, who we are in him, and we worship him with our lives there. We grow in the knowledge of our calling there. We grow in our relationship through the messages that come through that ministry. And then we respond by meditating on that word daily as we go through our week, by practicing what we've learned, by growing in it, by going further in it. And we bring our money, our tithes and offerings into that house, and we worship him with it. And if you'll do that, in the knowledge of Christ, you will enable a flow to happen in your life. Abraham did this without any law. All he had was Jesus. God spoke to him, and he responded. Jesus delivered him, and he responded by worshiping him with 10%. There was no Mosaic covenant. No one told him he had to do it. When someone has to tell you you have to do something, that's no good. Right? That's what a child has to be told. When you realize what needs to be done and what is part of our relationship and you choose to do it out of passion and knowledge, now you're becoming mature. Now you're acting like a mature follower of Christ. So what we're doing right now, as they did in the New Testament, they heard this amazing message of salvation, and they began selling stuff, their possessions, their properties, and bringing the proceeds to the fivefold ministry gifts to the church and worshiping. It was way beyond 10%, way beyond. This is what we're doing in the New Testament church. We worship God not because we have to, Not because someone is telling us you need to give some money. No, we're in a vibrant relationship with Jesus, and we recognize the kingdom of God and the New Testament church and God's system for operating in the earth. It's a sowing and a reaping. It's a trusting and an acting. It's believing and action. Believing and acting on what we believe. It's pursuing and walking in Him. And that's what we're doing right now. We're worshiping the Lord with our money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can do that through highwaychurch.us. Just click on Give in the menu. If on our live platform, you can just click Give. It's right there. And you have a variety of ways that you can give. You can give directly through our website and schedule recurring gifts. You can text the amount you want to worship the Lord with, 508-502-7733. And you can also mail, use a good old U.S. Post Office and send to our P.O. Box. You can Cash App us. Any way you'd like to worship the Lord, you can do that through our website. Hallelujah. It's so good. If you haven't realized it by now, our goal at Highway, we're calling you into a religious-free, passion, knowledge of Christ relationship with God. Let go of your own ideas. Don't be hard-hearted. Give your whole self to Christ, and let's run with Him together. Let's run with Christ. Let's run with Christ together. So let's do it. Father, we come before You right now, Lord, with the increase You brought into our hands. Whether it's a weekly paycheck, or whether it's some special increase, or whether we sold property to worship You with, Lord, we come before You now because You are the passion of our lives. And we're not living according to the world's system or according to the Mosaic covenant. We're in a new covenant. With new life, we're filled with Your Spirit. We're new creations, and we're choosing to worship You with our money. Lord, be glorified. We give You all that we are and all that we have. And we bring unto You, Lord God, our money today and say, Father, be glorified with what we give You, with what we're sowing today. And Lord, multiply it exponentially for the expansion of Your kingdom. And we thank You for multiplying it back unto us in our personal lives. Father, I thank You for mortgages paid in full. Thank You, Lord God, for debts paid in full. Thank You, Lord, for prospering us, Your people, beyond what we've asked or imagined. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and He adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord is upon us. And we thank You, Father, for Your blessing that is causing us to prosper every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.